How many people here feel like God loves you? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Because it was only 6 years ago, when I was 57, that I finally discovered that God really loved me and that God was a good God. I had come up with the religious teaching that God had a plan for us, but it included a lot of sickness and tragedy, and that it was for our good, and that we would learn lessons from that. But because of that, I had such a hard time trying to feel the love of God, knowing that any minute he could put something bad on me to teach me a lesson. That was really hard. And so it wasn't until April of 2009, when a friend of mine gave me a teaching, Andrew Womack's, "You've Already Got It, So Stop Trying to Get It." And that Saturday afternoon that I listened to all CDs at once. There were about six of them, I think. And I just sat there on my couch, and I just every once in a while kept pumping my hands in the air going, "Yes, God, yes, you are a good God. You are a good God." Because I didn't know that before. I really didn't know that. I mean, if you had someone you knew or whatever that was going to put sickness on you or cause you to have an automobile accident or cause some other tragedy in your life to teach you a lesson, would you want to know that person, or would you want to love that person, or would you want to be around that person? No. So, anyways, that was the day that God revealed to me how good he is. And one of the things that I've heard over the past few years is that the Bible is full of God's mysteries. And that once you get revelation, then you can start understanding and you can start seeing things in the Bible that you didn't see before. And that happened to me because when I used to try to read the Bible, it made no sense to me because of what I was being told and what I was trying to think of. So it was very confusing. And once I got revelation, it's like all of a sudden, oh my gosh, look at this verse. Oh my gosh, look at this verse in this book. Oh my gosh, look at this. It's all about the goodness of God. And it was just awesome. So, and the very first thing that I'm going to give as a verse is John 3:16. Because this is really how good God is. He gave his only begotten Son. "For whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Wow. I mean, how many times have we read that, or did I read it or hear it? Or because every ball game or whatever you go to, there was always a sign up that said John 3:16. So of course you have to go and see what John 3:16 says. And that he gave his only Son because he loved us so that we might be saved. That is just, still, I just am overwhelmed when I think of that, but I am so grateful for God for having done that. So, and one of my most favorite verses that I have stood on for healing, prosperity, for just day-to-day living with Jesus and God is John 10:10. "The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly." Life more abundantly. Does that sound like someone who's going to put sickness and tragedies on you? No, it doesn't. So again, there's hundreds of verses in the Bible that tell us how good God is. And another one, John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He overcame the world. He overcame the devil so that we could get through whatever tribulation the devil gave us. So did he come up with ways or a way that we can live in this carnal world? Yes. If you are born again, if you are saved, you're part of the kingdom of God. And if you're part of the kingdom of God, then when the world throws things at you, he will get you through it. But don't ever think that he gave you that in order to teach you a lesson on how to get through it. No, he didn't do that. He's a good God, really good God. Amen. And he also gave us presents. He gave us the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. All good things. All really good things. And every single one of them. If we can feel that in our heart and accept those gifts from God, will help you through the day-to-day living in the carnal world. And another way that he shows his goodness is, I'm going to read 1 Peter 5 through 8. And it's, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you? Does that sound like someone who's going to put sickness and tragedies on you to teach you lessons? No, he's saying, give all that to me and I'll take care of it. It's like, oh my gosh. Everywhere you look is showing the goodness of God and how he will help you in every single way, every single day. And Ephesians 1, 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He has given us, our Father has given us, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All over the place in the Bible, he's giving us gifts. He's always giving us wonderful gifts. Life gifts, not death gifts, not tragedy, not illness, none of that. He's giving us life, life. So, once I got the revelation of how good God is, how really good he is. And I got a revelation of healing. I didn't know you could be healed. You really, really could be healed. I didn't know God wanted you healed all the time. Never mind. I thought maybe you might be able to be healed, but all the time? And he had provided that way with us, with Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross for us, he not only provided for our salvation, but he provided us with health and prosperity and deliverance and all good things. The Greek word sozo is the word that was used for salvation in the Bible, and it means all those things. He gave us everything. Everything. Do you know how everything is? What's everything? Everything. So, he healed us. People are healed in many different ways in the Bible. Jesus didn't heal the same way all the time. And that's kind of cool, I think, because it's not one way or another. It's not having to only do one thing. But he definitely, by the word. All you have to do is get a word from the Bible. And you know, for everyone, it's different because there is so much scripture, so many verses in the Bible, that each of those verses is going to hit everybody a little differently. And there's going to be something that gets into your heart when you're reading the Bible. Things are going to get into your heart at different times, at different rates than other people. And we're not all going to be on the same page at once in as far as maybe what verses we're into, but we can all be at the same place as far as getting healed and being prosperous and living a good day-to-day life. And one of the ways that he did it by word is the centurion. Matthew 8, 5 through 10. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is about the centurion who Jesus came upon, and he had a servant at home that was really sick. And he told, Jesus told the centurion that I will come and heal him. And the Lord said, the centurion said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant will be healed. This centurion, because he is a military man, he was used to military ways and used to, I'm sure when he was coming up in the ranks, he was used to taking orders. And all he needed to know was that if Jesus said that the servant was healed, he would be healed. So Jesus marveled and said to him, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So you're going to see faith in every kind of healing. And this one is by the word. My very first healing was from incontinence in 2009. And it was after prayer at one of Andrew Womack's seminars, Gospel Truth Seminar. And I was instantly healed from the word in that. And it was like, wow. When you first experience your first healing, it's kind of amazing. And I've had several since then. So another kind of healing was Jesus took a blind man by the hand and led him out of the town because there were too many unbelievers. And so he took him by the hand, took him out of town, spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, and then he asked him if he could see. And he looked up, the man looked, blind man looked up, and he said, "I see men as trees walking." So he had a partial healing at that point. And after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored and he saw every man clearly. So sometimes you have to take people away from some unbelievers, or you have to get the person in belief. I know that when I was going through my healing of my hips, that the first major healing that I got was my whole right leg and lower left leg got completely pain-free. And that happened 1 week after a meeting at my workplace. And the human resource person and the town manager requested a meeting with me and my manager. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And I had always felt a little uncomfortable because it was all new to me still, that maybe, you know, people are thinking I'm crazy, that I'm not getting my hip replacement, that I decided not to do a hip replacement because I'm believing on God's healing. Well, it turns out that the reason they wanted this meeting was in order, the town manager wanted it. And what he asked me is, he says, "Is there anything at all we can do for you?" And it totally threw me because I didn't expect that. And he was there offering help if he could. And I told him, "No, thank you. I can't think of anything right now, because as far as I was concerned, I was healed and I went about like anybody else that was there. And I didn't need special parking or anything. I didn't need anything." But 1 week later after that, because what he said made me feel like, oh, wow, maybe everybody is not feeling that way around here. They're not thinking I'm crazy. And my heart changed. My heart got freer and allowed Jesus to come in and do that healing. And it was another year later when I had another healing in my left hip, which was the worst hip. But the first part was because of having my eyes open to people who it seemed like they were supporting what I was believing in, so that I didn't have to leave there and go somewhere else and be around believers all the time in order to get healed. So, and then Mark 5:25-30 is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically what she believed was if she could touch Jesus' clothes, she would be made whole. And she ended up getting onto the ground because it was so crowded, and crawling through and finally getting close enough to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment. And she was healed. And Jesus immediately knew that virtue had gone out of him. He turned around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And he ended up telling her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." And again, a place that faith associated with healing. She had faith that if she could touch him, that she would be healed, and she was. And then there is progressive healings, which I just spoke about my hips, and I ended up getting, my hips are totally healed. I have no pain in my hips. Hallelujah. A year ago, February, the last of the pain went away. Right now, I am believing for healing in my lower back so that I can stand up straight and do everything and walk perfectly. And I am believing on that. And I know that will happen also. But my hips took about 3 years to heal. the way that I was thinking and because of who I was around and everything. But it finally came to pass. And it was, when it happened, it was like, wow, hallelujah. And there was, there's a, Mercy Santos has a healing testimony on Andrew Womack's website. And I used to listen to that a lot. And she was healed of multiple sclerosis after having it for 20 years. And hers was a progressive healing. And she used to tell everybody, don't worry, don't worry. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. And people looked at her a little crazy because she was in a wheelchair. But she ended up getting totally healed. And an example of a progressive healing in the Bible is Luke 17, 12 through 16. And this is when the lepers, the 10 lepers, and Jesus saw them, and they said to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw him, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they had progressive healing. They, I don't know how far away the priests were, but they had to walk to the priest in order to get healed. And as they were going, they were healed. So, again, there are lots of ways of getting healed. But the main thing is that you have the faith and you have, and it gets into your heart. Once you believe that you are healed and it gets into your heart, then it's just wonderful, just wonderful, his faithfulness. And another verse that I lived by and spoke over and over and over and still do to this day is walk by faith, not by sight. And that's on another page here. It is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And that was something that when I got that in, I mean, that's exactly what I was doing when I canceled my hip replacement, is I had to start thinking, seeing myself whole, seeing myself well. I could close my eyes and I could picture myself running, so much so that I could actually feel my feet on the ground as I ran. I could feel it. And that's part of what I did. And I couldn't have done that without knowing that God loved me and had sent Jesus to heal us and to save us. I couldn't have done that. God is so good. He's so good. And of course, another way is miracles. We all know about miracles. And you know what? Miracles are good. But it's also better to get a hold of healing, and even before you're healed, knowing the goodness of God and that he's already healed us through Jesus and that he wants us well all the time. He is, he is just so good, and he wants us healed all the time. And it's going to come back to me. it will come back to me. I'll get back to that. But, oh, miracles. But it's much better to walk in health and never need that miracle. I got it. And the thing is every single day, I thank God for having healed me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, and that everything in between is working the way it's supposed to, and that if there's anything missing, that it's been replaced and that it's working better than ever. And when you get to believing that you're healed and that you're healed, you'll walk in health. I used to get sick every winter, like many people. Colds, bronchitis, all kinds of things to do with the respiratory system. I don't get sick anymore. It's praise the Lord. You better believe it. So you have miracles, or you can think of it as a preventative kind of thing also. And the next one is Matthew 9, 5 through 7. This is the man that they brought him in by the bed and dropped him through the roof. And for him to get healed, Jesus forgave him his sins. Some people have to be forgiven of their sins because they don't feel worthy enough. And there's someone who I know of. I haven't met him yet, but I feel like I will someday. His name is Lance Welgen, and he was healed of fibromyalgia. And when he bumped into some people in a coffee shop who were going to Caris Bible College, and they invited him to come sit in on some of the classes, because they didn't pray for his healing right away. They knew that for some reason he needed some coaching. And so they talked to him and everything, and he went, he sat in on some classes. And then they were talking to him and said, "We want to pray for you now, but is there anything that, any reason that you can think of why you wouldn't be healed?" And the woman asked Lance, she said, "I think there's something about your heart." And Lance said, "You're right." He said, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." So they ministered to him and told him about how worthy he was. And then when they ended up praying for him, he ended up getting healed right away. And he couldn't move before, hardly, without pain all throughout his body. And I've seen pictures of him running down the hallway in the school, and he jumped up and hit the door frame, and he was just running all over the place. "I'm healed, I'm healed." So sometimes you need to know that you are worthy and that your sins are forgiven. And there are other ways. Another way is, a good way to get healed is to minister to others. And my first year, when I was in first year at Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack's Gospel Truth Seminar came to Worcester, and one of the things, because I was with the school, they wanted us to be prayer ministers at Andrew's seminar. And I was on the cane then. I could barely walk because of my hips. And I went, and I went to the, they had a little training, an hour training before the first night. And I asked the people in charge there, I said, "Is it going to be funny or is it going to be weird that I'm praying for people and I'm leaning on a cane and I'm not healed? You know, or I know I'm healed, but it's not manifested yet." And they said, "That's the best way to get healed, is to start ministering to other people." And we have a wonderful example of that right here in our church. Peter had terrible back trouble. And his healing manifested when one of his neighbors, this woman, went through a tragedy. And Peter started ministering to this woman week after week after this tragedy. And when he started ministering to this woman, the healing of his back manifested. So, praise the Lord. Ministering to others is a great way to get healed. Some people, taking communion. They get healed through taking communion. And we had one teacher who told us, they said, well, just think of it. If you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you to take this medicine 3 times a day, said, instead of, why not take communion 3 times a day? Because as Pastor Jim said last week, so soon I was going to say this, but it doesn't matter how often you take it. The Bible doesn't tell us how often to take it. So if it really means something to you and ministers to you by taking communion and helps you get through the day or get healed or think about, you know, what am I going to do about this problem or that, take communion as often as you need to. Some people, laying on of hands, you can get healed. Some people like the oil, and we'll put oil on you. And there are some people who believe in that, and it's not required. But again, it's just another way that if you believe that that's going to help you and it's in your heart that that's how you're going to get healed. Oh, I forgot that was there. then it doesn't matter. There are so many different ways that you can get it into your heart that you are healed and to get the Lord's healing manifested in you. So God is so good, and there is, besides verses about his love and healing, there are also verses, his love and goodness, there are verses, lots of verses about his healing. And the most, I think, best known one, and one that I definitely stood on, was the 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. And Mark 11:23-24 was another one I stood on and still like very much. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which saith come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And this is, I think, the most awesome one of all, because this one tells us we don't need somebody to lay hands on us. We don't need oil. We don't need to minister. We don't need all these other things. If we believe enough and we talk to our troubles and talk to our sicknesses and tell them to go in the name of Jesus, he's given us the power to do that. There are a lot of people who feel, I know one couple, and the man is in a wheelchair, and I can't remember exactly what it is he has, but he's been in a wheelchair for years. And they go around to every faith healer in the area, and they have traveled down to Pennsylvania and other places. Anytime they hear of someone being there, they go. And this has been for years, and his healing hasn't manifested yet, because they keep looking to other people instead of looking to Jesus. And if they just concentrated on looking to Jesus and got the fact that he died on the cross for us, for our healing, then I believe that that would help him tremendously in getting his healing manifested. So again, we can do it ourselves. We can be somewhere, if we don't have oil, if we don't have bread and juice, and we don't have anything around us, we're out somewhere and we need help, all we have to do is say, Jesus, help. I remember someone telling the story that one time, they didn't even say Jesus, they just said, help. And they got healed, because Jesus knew who he was saying help to. So, and then another one for healing is submit yourselves, James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, this is something we can resist. We don't have to have someone else resist, or we don't have to have someone else pray special prayers over us. We can resist. So we have all this power in us. God loved us so much, He gave us the power. We have the power. How awesome is that? So I am just going to say that also, just to let you know a couple other things. I've had all kinds of healing, but besides the arthritis in the hips, which was bone on both bone arthritis, and the doctor said if I didn't have hip replacement, it would be too late, and I would be in a wheelchair. So hallelujah. He walked out of the office after to check on something, and I repented right there in the office, said, no way. Jesus, I know you have healed me. And I made the decision not to go through with it. And I am healed. I had, one of the things that's kind of interesting to me is we don't know everything about God's healing, because it can be so many different ways. But I had arthritis in my hands. And both my little fingers, I could not move. They had gotten that crippled. I couldn't move them at all. And now they're healed. But after I prayed for them, my right hand healed instantly. It manifested instantly. My left one, same problem. It was 3 to 4 months later. So it's like, okay, what's going on here? But if you believe and you keep standing on it, it will manifest. Another thing which I think is kind of interesting is my sister had a couple, back in January of 2011, she had her regular eye doctor appointment, and interestingly enough, a week later I had mine, and we didn't know that was happening, but she had asked me to go with her because she was getting new frames, and she wanted me to help her pick her up because she has trouble seeing close. So without glasses, she can't see what the frames look like, and she wanted me to tell her if they look good or not. So I went with her, and it had been years since I had gotten new frames, and so it got me all excited. And when I went for my appointment the next week, instead of just getting new lenses, I went the whole hog and got new frames and paid a lot of money for these new frames. But because of what I knew at the time, I said a little prayer and said, but God, you've healed my eyesight. I said, I believe I'm healed. And then I totally forgot about it. I didn't dwell on it. I didn't think about it. And 2 months later, my eyes were healed. And that summer when I went to, we have a Lowell baseball team, spinners that are associated with the Red Sox. And my sister and I have season tickets, so we go to a lot of games, and it used to be they have all these ads on the outfield wall. And the summer before, if I didn't have my glasses on, everything was just a big blur. I couldn't read anything, nothing. And that summer, I went to the game, and I was looking out of the field, and I was reading every single sign. Praise God. Praise God. It was so awesome. And that's one I didn't even dwell on. I said a little prayer, and 2 months later, it was done. So, and I had a major gallstone attack in October of 2010. And that also was healed. And I did go to the doctors, but I had already repented all kinds of things. I didn't know what it was. It could have been acid reflux or hernia or gallstones. I repented them all. And then when I went to the doctor, by the time my appointment came, the pain was gone. So I didn't have the pain anymore. And the only reason I held off going to the doctors, but the pain didn't go away. So I made the appointment. And then when the pain had gone, but I still went anyways, just because I made the appointment. And they sent me to have an ultrasound. And they spent a lot of time on me. I'd had ultrasounds before, and they're usually done within like 5 minutes. They don't usually spend a lot of time doing that. And they spent a good 15 minutes on me, and then she had to call the doctor in. And the doctor spent another 5 minutes or more on me, checking me out and everything. And he finally looked at me and said, "Don't you hurt?" And I said, "No, why?" And he said, "Because we see tons of gallstones in there. And whenever they were pushing down on the paddle, I was supposed to be yelling out in pain, but I had none. I knew that I was healed." So when the doctor, my regular doctor, called to set up the appointment for an operation to get rid of them, I said, "No, thank you." I said, "I'm healed in Jesus' name." And that was almost 5 years ago. So again, it's God is good. He is so good. I just want to read how we do. Okay, perfect timing. Oh, the Lord is so good. I want to read the words of a song that I've been listening to a lot lately. It's on a CD that I listen to a lot. And it's by BJ and Lisa Sullivan. And they wrote all these songs, but this one's called "Come Worship the King." And it's, "Come worship the King, fall down at his feet, and give him all your praise for all that he's done and the battle he won on that day. He deserves our praise. He is holy and exalted. He is high and lifted up. He is master and creator. He's the giver of all good. He is good. He is good. He's so good, Jesus." And again, just to kind of sum up, he's good because he gave his only begotten Son so that we could be saved. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He wants you to cast all your cares on him because he cares. He sent Jesus so we could live abundant lives. Abundant. We can have peace because he overcame the world. We are already healed by Jesus' stripes. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in Jesus. Does this sound like a God that would give you sickness and tragedy to teach you things? He is so good. He's so good. He's so good. My God is a good God. Amen.